I'm speaking today with Fred Nathan. He's the founder and executive director of Think New Mexico. This is a think tank whose mission is to improve the quality of life for all New Mexicans, especially those who lack a strong voice in the political process. And they put out publications, the most recent policy publication focused on New Mexico's jobs crisis, and offered some solutions to help us a little through this mire. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you for having me.
So I think nothing made us more aware of the state's dependence on federal government than the recent shutdown. So your report is really timely, though I know you started it long before this. Can you tell us what caused you to think about focusing on jobs as opposed to a number of the other things that hit New Mexico as well?
That's a great question. So our board picks the topic after each legislative session. This is actually something we've been thinking about doing for at least a decade. And we just thought with the unemployment just getting, not getting addressed, actually, and the fact that we've got about more than 7% of New Mexicans unemployed and another 7% underemployed, meaning those who have part-time work but would really prefer full-time work, that's about 134,000 New Mexicans. We thought this really was the time to address this.
And what is being done with jobs here? What did you find are some of the engines? Because you speak to people across the board, and I should say here, this is a nonpartisan organization. You note in your letter in the introduction that at Think New Mexico, we care a lot more about whether an idea works than whether it's left or right. And I think that's important for listeners.
Yeah, so that really was sort of our operating principle here, is that we don't have enough jobs. We don't have enough good jobs. And so we sort of did a survey of the other 49 states to see what works and what doesn't when it comes to job creation. And it was interesting. We found a real disconnect between the public sector and the private sector. People in government think that it's the role of government to pick winners and losers, like the spaceport down in southern New Mexico, for example. And we talked to lots of small business people, entrepreneurs, job incubators, job creators, job recruiters, bankers, CEOs, and they all said the same thing to us, which is the government should get out of the business of picking winners and losers and just try to create a climate for all businesses to be successful. And in fact, when we looked at the literature, that's what the people that do this for a living strongly suggest and say. To put it mildly, picking winners and losers has underperformed. You know, it's hard enough for people like Warren Buffett to do that, but it's expecting a lot for government people to say, okay, this industry we're going to focus on and this one we're going to ignore. So, so it's a very long process, and we talked probably over 100 experts, and you've seen the bibliography, which is enormous. And so we just focused on the Kauffman Foundation, I think, is the leading organization in the United States that focuses on really what works and what doesn't. And they said, focus on your pool of entrepreneurs. Obviously, you want that to be a very deep pool, and in New Mexico, it really isn't. Secondly, you want to focus on reducing, you know, barriers and administrative barriers to businesses, so we have a solution on that part of it. And then third, you want to focus on helping businesses that are already existing to accelerate and to grow.
And this is part of what the Kauffman Foundation talks about as setting the table for economic success, right?
Correct.
So here in New Mexico, we need to do that. Can you explain that idea for setting the table?
Well, that's that idea of creating a climate for all businesses to be successful rather than trying to target one or two industries and throwing subsidies at them and then crossing your fingers and hoping that something good happens. That strategy really, you know, hasn't worked in New Mexico and really hasn't worked in other states that do it. So, for example, we looked at Utah. Utah's doing something that's very innovative and actually surprisingly simple, and that is rather than doing pre-performance incentives, you know, targeting an industry like the spaceport and then throwing $200 million and building them a runway and a building and hoping that an industry grows, what Utah says is we're going to do post-performance incentives based on results. So if you want to relocate and move your business to Utah, or if there's a business in Utah that wants to expand, they say we're not going to bribe you and throw money at you. But if you do what you say you'll do and create jobs, we'll rebate to you up to 30% of your corporate income taxes, your withholding taxes, your sales taxes, and give that money back to you to redeploy in your business. And it's been wildly successful. They've been doing this just for 5 years, and it's their only economic incentive. And they attribute more than 25,000 jobs to it. And these are good jobs from companies like Boeing. Procter & Gamble has moved into the state, eBay, Amazon. So they've done extremely well with it. And they refer to it as, you don't get a dime until we get a dollar. So there's no need to do these clawbacks, which has been a big issue here in New Mexico, where we've given money to businesses to come in and then they don't create the factory that they said they would, or they go out of business. And then the government's faced with the challenge of, how do we get the money back that we gave to them because they didn't do what they said they'd do? Utah doesn't have that problem because it's based on performance. So there's never the need to claw back taxpayer dollars.
So if we did that with something like the spaceport, we would be saying, okay, you invest all of your own money, you show us some product here or some kind of economic return, and then we'll pay a percentage of that.
That is exactly right, and that's what we probably should have done with the spaceport. We threw $200 million. We haven't seen a whole lot of jobs, and there's a question whether they'll really, Virgin Galactic, which is the company that's involved, is really going to deliver on what they've promised.
Are there some other companies kind of contemplating New Mexico where we could apply this idea?
Yes, and when you talk to people like Gary Tonjes, who does this for a living, he's with Albuquerque Economic Development, they're of course very secretive about the companies that are coming in, but Gary was the first one actually that suggested this to us. I just asked him when we were interviewing him, if you were God, Gary, and you could just wave a magic wand, what would be the number one thing we could do? And he pointed me in the direction of Utah and said, go look at this post-performance incentive system because it seems to be going gangbusters, and we could do the same thing. So that was a good tip.
And what's stopping New Mexico? Is there this fear that if we don't give all of these incentives, nobody will come?
I think that's part of it, but I'm cautiously optimistic that we're drafting legislation modeled after what Utah does, and we're cautiously optimistic, in our early discussions with the executive branch and with legislators, that this is actually something that we could implement here in New Mexico, and we would be the second state. And, I'm convinced that over the next couple of decades, more and more states will move to the system. It's just a much more sensible way to do economic development, to partner with those businesses, that want to be here. And when you talk to those businesses, they say things like, we just want to compete. And they love the post-performance incentive because the better you do, the more money you receive back from the state. And it's win-win. The state gets, out of every $10, they get $7 in tax receipts. So it's found money to them.
And that will be discussed at this legislative session coming up.
We will have a bill in on that proposal.
And let's talk about the increasing New Mexico supply of entrepreneurs. I really liked the thinking and the ideas behind this.
Well, this may be our most original idea ever. So we got very interested in who are entrepreneurs. I mean, demographically, who's likely to become an entrepreneur? And the Kauffman Foundation of Kansas City, which is focused like a laser beam on entrepreneurship, has actually done the research for us. And their research indicates that it comes primarily from two groups. One are people in what are known as STEM fields, science, technology, engineering, and math. And two-thirds of the businesses that have been started in the United States since 1980 come from those fields. The other group turns out to be immigrants. Immigrants are accustomed to taking risk. I know, and we're in this sort of perverse time in our country's history where we're really hostile, unfortunately, to immigrants, but we really need more immigrants in this country, not less. And when you look historically, for example, at the Fortune 500, we were fascinated to learn that about 20% of those businesses were started by immigrants, people like Sergey Brin at Google. Andy Grove at Intel was born in Hungary. Sergey Brin, I think, was born in Russia. Even Procter & Gamble, which goes back over 100 years, was started by a Scottish immigrant and an English immigrant. I can't remember which one was Procter and which one was Gamble. And then another 20% are the children of immigrants. Walt Disney, child of two immigrants. So then we started looking at, okay, who, you know, what if we put these two groups together, STEM and the immigrants? So we started looking at international students studying in STEM fields at our public universities. Well, there are very few of those kids. And one of the reasons is that our in-state and out-of-state tuition, our out-of-state tuition, which is what these kids would pay, is actually one of the highest in the country. Our in-state tuition, on the other hand, is a real bargain. So we hit upon this idea about what if we offered in-state tuition, which at UNM is about $8,000 a year, for international kids to come to New Mexico who are focused on majoring in the STEM fields. And we came to find, during the course of our research, we found out that North Dakota has done something like this. They had a somewhat different problem, which is they couldn't populate their state. So about 10 years ago, their governor and legislators and university presidents got together, and they decided to offer in-state tuition to any out-of-state student that met their admissions requirement or international students. And a few months ago, the Wall Street Journal profiled some of these kids, and many of them have stayed in the state and are starting businesses. They really profiled the international kids. And they sort of joked around about North Dakota being cold and flat and said, isn't it remarkable how many of these kids have stayed? And it's really worked out just the way North Dakota had hoped it would. And then you compare that to New Mexico, which, as we know, has such a marvelous quality of
Absolutely.
Life. We think we can do even better than North Dakota's done. And, of course, North Dakota's number one right now in the country in job creation. Now, that has to do a little bit with their, or a lot to do with their oil and gas and so forth. But this other thing that they're doing with their universities has certainly contributed to that.
And in the studies here, they talk about a lot of international students not coming to America simply because the tuition is so high, and that New Mexico is actually above average when compared to a lot of other states. So if we could do that, and the percentage that we already have for the university is quite small, wasn't it 8% or?
No, it's even
2%.
Smaller. Yeah, it's about 2.2% if you look at UNM, NMSU, and New Mexico Tech. And at UNM, it's less than 1%. It's 0.99. And we profiled in the report, and your listeners, are, if they're interested in the report, they can go to our website and contact us about getting a copy of it. That's www.thinknewmexico.org. And we profile Andy Lim. And this is a wonderful story that may inspire some of your listeners on their way to work this morning. So Andy Lim is a guy who was in Taiwan about 10 years ago, and there was a horrible earthquake at that time, and he decided he wanted to leave, and so by serendipity, he came to New Mexico because he had a friend here, and didn't work out with the friend, but he liked the quality of life, so he stayed, and he's a very bright guy. He's when he moved here, he spoke four languages, but not English, so he thought, well, I'll get a second degree from UNM, and in the course of that, I'll learn how to speak English. Also got a job, a full-time job at UNM. So he graduates in 4 years, which hardly anybody does apparently anymore, and got a job in the web design business. And one of his clients, Sushi King, which is a restaurant in Albuquerque, came to him and said, Andy, you're such a smart guy. You've done such a great job with our website. What we really need now is point-of-sale software. Do you think you could do that for us? So he said, you know, I'll try. And he developed this point-of-sale software that I'm sure your listeners have seen in restaurants or have experienced, where the waiter or waitress comes with an iPad or a smartphone.
Right.
And
they see it more and more, actually.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, that's Andy's work. And, you know, the order goes back to the kitchen. Yeah. They've got an iPad. It's much more efficient. You can turn tables much more quickly. And restaurants love it. So he's built it into a business in 3 years, where he's now serving 3,000 restaurants in over 60 countries and just revolutionizing that industry from Albuquerque, New Mexico. And he's hired 37 of his classmates from UNM. And this is really the model for what we want to create in New Mexico. And Andy's a big proponent of this. And so Andy came here because of serendipity. And our idea is, what if we could get these kids to come here intentionally because our in-state tuition is such a bargain and this is such a wonderful place to live?
And it's not, it wouldn't cost very much. You say to reach the goal of 5%, it would be about $12.5 million, which in the big scheme of things is very little for a really targeted effort to get international students to come, right?
That's exactly right. And we want to make this, you know, cost or revenue neutral to the state. So we've identified 7 tax breaks, special interests, you know, obsolete loopholes.
Well,
to generate that money,
though,
but we can talk about that later.
Yeah, let's finish these ideas, because the second one, you spoke about the post-performance tax incentive, but the second idea you had was creating a one-stop business portal. Discuss that.
Yeah, this is just something we probably should have done 10 or 15 years ago. And
I know,
18
efficiency
states,
in New Mexico doesn't really go together all the time, does it?
Right, it's sort of a contradiction in terms for us. But if you're an existing business or if you want to start a business in New Mexico, you have to go to multiple state agencies and file with them all kinds of information. And sometimes they're asking for the same information over and over again. And what a number of states have done is just created a one-stop business portal to just make it more business-friendly. And, you know, we talked to some entrepreneurs about this. And this one gentleman, Stuart Rose, who runs a business park in Albuquerque that caters to startups, said that many of these companies will give law firms like $10,000 to just do all these registrations because it's so time-consuming and because it's, you know, not what they specialize in. And he says how sad it is because these companies are capital-starved as it is, and so they're spending money on lawyers, and that if you could create this business portal, they could do it for themselves and take that $10,000 and reinvest it in their businesses at a critical juncture. You know, in their journey.
Well, it's crazy making any time to do that. So, and this has also been done, you said, in Delaware, correct? So,
Delaware and 17 other states. Delaware has done the best job of it. And again, here's another example of a small state. You know, in all three of these proposals, we're looking at Delaware, North Dakota for the immigrant, you know, entrepreneurs, and Utah for the post-performance tax incentives. So these are small states that are being successful at economic development, and there's no reason why we couldn't do the same thing.
And you said this was introduced last year, but it wasn't heard. Will it be introduced again this year?
Yes, we're going to get a sponsor. So Senator Michael Padilla from Albuquerque proposed a pilot project on this, and we said, you know, let's just do the whole thing. This is, you know, something that should have been done years ago. And again, another example of something. You know, 5 years from now, I think all 50 states will have an online business portal to make it easy for startups to you know, file with the state government and for existing businesses to, you know, just...
Maybe
just,
Andy Lim needs to develop that for us.
Yeah, that's a great idea, actually. But, you know, just so your listeners have some sense, you know, you have to file with the tax department, you have to file with Office of Workforce Solutions, you have to file with workers' compensation. And then depending on what your business does, you may have to file with the Environment Department or Energy and Minerals. And so this is something that can and should be done.
I'm speaking with Fred Nathan. He's the founder and executive director of Think New Mexico. They have just published a new policy workbook, Think. What do you call them? Publications?
Just
or
a policy report.
A policy report focusing on New Mexico's jobs crisis. So the three things we have here, increasing the supply of entrepreneurs, you say, through increasing international students at the universities, creating one-stop business portal for efficiency, implementing a post-performance tax incentive. Basically, you don't get a dime until we get a dollar.
Right.
So then you follow all of this with the ways that we can do this and
right.
the finances. So tell us a little bit about some of those proposals that can fund all of these ideas quite easily, it would seem.
So the one that really costs money up front is offering in-state tuition to international STEM students. And as you pointed out earlier, it's about $12.5 million. And we just have a sort of a principle at Think New Mexico that if we come out with a policy report and there's something that's going to cost money, that we come up with a way to pay for it rather than just dropping it in the lap of the governor and the legislature and say, here's a good idea, you guys figure out how to pay for it. So we went through the tax code, which is ostensibly designed to increase economic development, And there's about 338, at least ones that we could identify, tax incentives of one form or another, deductions and credits and so forth. And so we basically, to be candid, looked for the low-lying fruit for things that were, redundant or unnecessary or obsolete or, candidly, just special interest tax loopholes. And so our proposal here is to end those, and that we identified, a handful of them. I could highlight a few if you thought.
Well, you say tax ATVs and RVs at regular rates?
Yeah, that's an interesting one. So in New Mexico, because we're a poor state and because we're a rural state, we have a motor vehicle excise tax of only 3% for new vehicles. And that makes sense because we want people to be able to get to work and to go to their jobs and so forth. But for some reason, ATVs and RVs come under that as well. And there are very few people that take an RV to school or to work. And so there's an example of where we could generate about $3 million if we simply taxed those vehicles at the normal gross receipts tax rates.
You also have a cigarette tax discount, and the one that surprised me that it could bring in almost $3 million annually, 3.12, tax exemption for racetrack purses.
Yeah,
do you even have a racetrack anymore?
Yeah, we have about five or six racinos, and again, that's a very powerful lobby, and somehow they were able to get this through. And this is true for, I think, a lot of our tax code, is that you have very skilled lobbyists. They get something like that on the books, and then nobody ever looks at it again. And so, and the tobacco one is actually a great example of that. I learned about that when I was working for Tom Udall, when he was Attorney General, and I was responsible for our lawsuit against the tobacco industry about 15 years ago. And when we filed the lawsuit, the tobacco lawyers said, well, the state has unclean hands, which is sort of legal mumbo-jumbo to say, you're just as bad as we are. And they pointed to a section of the statute and pointed out that, in effect, that the state was in the tobacco business because we were giving out a tax incentive or a subsidy to the industry to help them pay for their taxes. So when you, it's a very primitive system, but when you tax cigarettes, you affix a cigarette stamp. And it's the only example we could find in New Mexico's entire tax code where the state is subsidizing a taxpayer, in effect, to help him pay his taxes. And, I mean, wouldn't you like that?
I would.
Some compensation.
That never happens for journalists or writers. They're nowhere in here, by the way.
I
must say. I'm like, what about the artists and the writers? We're just like the forgotten
you need a lobbyist.
Job market.
I need
a lobbyist. Can I hire you, Fred?
Yeah.
Wait. Can I propose
maybe
the next policy paper?
Yes, maybe our next year's proposal. So anyway, we want to eliminate this subsidy for the tobacco distributors. And interestingly, that one actually goes to mostly out-of-state corporations to help them with their tax, paying their taxes in New Mexico. That would generate, several hundreds of thousands of dollars, which we think would be better spent on, incentives that would work and would actually help to create and bring jobs here.
So quickly, you put out these policy papers, then you go into meetings with governmental officials and you talk about implementing them. You've had some successes. And how do you feel the responses will be on something like this that seems quite doable, particularly the way that you've outlined them and the financing of it that you've noted?
Well, I'm the eternal optimist, and we've had a number of meetings so far, and I'm really thrilled with the response that we're getting both from Democrats and Republicans. Legislators, people in the executive branch. I think our timing is good in the sense that people do recognize that it is a crisis. We need more private sector jobs in this state. And I think it doesn't hurt that we're coming up to a big election in 2014. So we're getting lots of offers from legislators who want to help us with these bills from both sides of the aisle. And we had a wonderful meeting with the governor's office, with the governor's chief of staff. So we're optimistic that we'll get a message from the governor's office on all three of these bills and that we'll have some really, high-caliber sponsors.
So for people who would like to see this, they can contact Think New Mexico.
Correct.
I've been speaking with Fred Nathan. He is the founder and executive director of Think New Mexico about their new policy report that came out about the jobs crisis. Thank you so much for being with us, Fred. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to get an update on the legal state of same-sex marriage in New Mexico following yesterday's historic hearing before the state Supreme Court. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And your listeners can go to www.thinknewmexico.org if they want to find out more about this or to contact their government officials and endorse it. Thank you.